Welcome to podcast number 313. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador. And today's episode is going to be, and I know there's a bunch of people that are waiting for this one, because I judged 3 days in a row this weekend, APLA stuff, and it rained all but the last day, all the time. My gosh, it was like having a hunt test in London or something. It was bitter cold, and birds were wet, and wind was blowing, and we had almost had white caps on the pond sometimes when we were doing stuff. So it was exciting. What was funny, and what as soon as I heard it, probably the second or third time, I thought, well, yeah, there's my next podcast that I've got to do, and whether it would be on the set of watermarks or something, or really in the upland field is where something happens, and you hear, wow, she never does that in training. And people are just, you know, flabbergasted that their dog does something that that they don't normally do when they have electric collar on and they're being trained. And so I want to talk about that topic. I think it's, you know, it's useful in a whole lot of ways. There's so many things, you know, that you could use this example to investigate and talk about and get a little bit better. I'm going to just try to keep it as simple as possible. So this is the, you know, when they do something, we had wet birds. And you don't go necessarily hunting, you know, wet birds. So it's just not like a real life thing, but it's in a hunt test scenario, it's a thing. And we had wet birds. And so some dogs ran in there and grabbed them. Some of them, you know, pushed them, got real close. Some of them chased a little bit in the upland field. I can't even remember all the various things that were like, oh, that she never does that in training. And I just, it's kind of funny. It's not funny when it happens to you, right? I'm not laughing at anybody because I've had that a zillion times. But I want to talk about the he never does that in training thing. Because that's not really a thing. It is in our minds. It is in people's. We have the people who go, they never break in training, but they will break, you know, at a test or something. And so people have a lot of interesting things that they do after that. You know, sometimes they get mouthier on a bird than they normally are, you know, but they never do that in training. And so how do you prevent the they never do that in training thing? Now, first and foremost, you can't. Because, you know, I always, you know, dogs are human, right? They, sometimes stuff happens. And just like with all of us, you know, we're all perfect drivers except that one time we looked down at the phone and didn't see the whatever. That does happen sometimes. And dogs just sometimes make mistakes or do something that you haven't seen them do before. That's just not an unusual thing. But generally, the they never do this in training thing happens because the level at which you have trained and approached this dog is not at the level you needed to make sure that you had the responses and the understanding on game day when they are, most of them, amped up pretty good. You don't have a leash on, you don't have your collar, you don't have your training stuff. You're not in the same familiar place with the same familiar people. And so it's different. And if you'll notice that when you see the good pros, and good pros with the best dogs have bad stuff happen. Okay, that's just the way it is. Living creatures, we have that. But in general, when you see the good pros with their dogs, they don't tend to have they never do that in training kind of a thing. Always possible, but you don't tend to see that. And that's because of the level of preparation that they did in training that translates to the very exciting game day. Now, one of the first things that people want to do when they have issues at game day is recreate game day. So they think, well, it only happens under this situation, and so I need to recreate this situation, which is pretty much impossible if you think about it. And I know I've watched people do it. Oh, all kinds of things that they do to recreate that stuff. The thing is you aren't recreating it because it isn't game day. And if you have your training stuff on, which you should never not train with your training stuff. People that go, well, I'm going to train without the collar. So assuming that the dog learns, oh, it applies all the time. I've never seen it work. Somebody out there hearing me has had it work and says I'm wrong, and I'll accept that. I have never seen, I'm going to get rid of my training tools and then train so that they'll do stuff when I don't have my training tools on. I'm not sure how that works. So recreating game day is not anything that I've ever done or worked on, and because I haven't found it necessary. In long ago in the beginning, I'm sure I thought that. Oh, I need bigger groups. I need more trucks. I need stuff running, you know, whatever. And I later on found out that wasn't really necessary. However, and this is the important part of this, in training my dogs on a regular day, the attitude and approach I had was identical to the one that I'm going to have on game day. Right? I need this dog to do the best job it can possibly do. Right? Make sure that's a very important point. You know, there's some dogs that are just really, really phenomenal, really intelligent, really talented. You know, so what they have to give you when they try is more than another dog. There are other dogs that have less of that to give. You know, just like I go back to singing, you know, you could have Beyonce out there singing and then meet. It's never, you know, there's just not ever happening. And with dogs, it's the same way. There's some dogs that are amazing, some that are pretty good, some that are, yeah, they're okay. And some was, gosh, I'm trying really hard. So when I talk about expectations on your dog, they need to be dog appropriate expectations. However, when you are running tests, you do have to have a dog that does not break, a dog that goes out and comes back with the bird, does not eat the bird, does not sit down and start ripping the feathers and the wings off of it, or a dog when you go in the upland field that does what it, you know, hunts in a way you want it to, as opposed to just turn it loose and it's just gone. You know, that's not why people have pointing labs for upland hunting, because they tend to be, they hunt with you, also within your vision. So they should already understand those things. And for the pointing ones, they should understand that catching. Now, for youngsters, okay, all right, youngsters, you know, you can't. They're too young to put all the rules on. And when people do a lot of early rules and a lot of control on a little guy, a youngster, you can always tell and you pay a price. So again, that is dog and age appropriate that you start implementing these rules. No dog, in my opinion, should ever chase a bird hunting or pointing, flushing, or whatever. And that is something I wouldn't compete in an upland field until I had a dog that I knew wasn't going to chase a bird out the county, you know, down the road and across everything. So that said, how do you get your dog to do that on game day without recreating game day? And it comes down to some things that are very simple. And I said, so in training, when you go and you train your dog and it's a training day, whether you do it alone or you do it in a group, okay, and you're working on this stuff and your mind is on whatever it is it's on, right? Today I'm going to do some tight blinds, whatever it is. I'm going to do some long retrieves or some short retrieves or something. You're out there working on something. So that's where your mind is, right? Your mind is on, okay, you either have gunners out there or you have your wingers out there and you've got this thing set up and it's thrown where it looks like it's actually at the top of the hill, but it's behind the hill or it's something. You've got something there and you're very much into that and you do not notice that your dog is kind of scooching around a little bit on next to you or looking over at something else because there's a thing making a noise on your hard left. And you don't really notice that because you're about working on these marks. So the dog has this sense of not total connection and a sense of looseness. Whether you're aware of it or not, they have that. Or, okay, that's one thing. Or your dog comes up, sits down, perfect, just perfect. sits down, doesn't move, looks out right where you want them to look out, right? Then the bird launches, however you do it. Dog just sits there. You put your hand down or whatever you do and you send them. Everything's good, right? Then you do another one. They had a little bit of a hunt out there, so you're really emphasizing, okay, let's set up another thing like this and try it again so you've got another mark. And your dog does everything just really well, right? And so you're just totally emphasized on this mark. And there's a lot of people that have dogs that do that, especially if they're, you know, not puppies because they're nuts. But it's a kind of a trained dog, and you're doing pretty well, and your dog does really well. So you're really working on the marks, and then you go out with another day, and you're running a bunch of blinds and stuff. Dog walks up, sits down, pointed the right way. You know, it's like everything's cool until game day, right? And then all of a sudden, that's the, I have never seen him do that before. So we have two things going on here with you. Never mind your dog. We're just talking about you. So when your dog never feels any concern about, and let's just talk on breaking, right? There's one, we'll just talk about breaking. Your dog never feels any concern about breaking because he never breaks, right? And don't ever say the words, right? Never, my dog never breaks yet. So when a dog has no concern about breaking, if you have not sort of really installed the thought of you never go till I send you, right? Then they don't have that thought thoroughly installed. And on an exciting day or a close bird or a flyer that's running around on the ground making a lot of noise or something, then because you've never driven that point home, then their desire or excitement might for a moment overcome their thinking, and then you have a dog that breaks on you. Similarly, or a dog that just goes, I can't stand it anymore, I gotta grab it. Okay, same thing, where they never do it. Because in training, one, they're training, they know they want to keep you happy. They know what the rules are. And so they just do stuff right. So there's no place to, I got my air quotes thing, correct them. And so you never get to. And then they do this at the test. I'm going to switch over from stuff on the line. I'm going to switch over to the upland field. So my dog, you know, caught a bird or whatever it was. And they've never done it in training. And you know why they've never done it in training? Because you're always telling them what to do. A lot of people, when they're out in the upland field and they're talking all the time, right, and they're telling the dog where to be and to get closer and to go this direction, and they're talking and talking and talking to them, and then they go on point, and whatever you do, you whoa them or do whatever you do, have a cord on them, get after them. So you're always telling them what to do. Well, on game day, you can't. I mean, you can suggest stuff, but you don't have your training tools, so you can't, there's nothing you can do. So the first thing you have to find out is, what would my dog do if I wasn't always telling it what to do? And people rarely do that in the upland field. Oh my goodness, no. They want to make sure that by making the dog do everything right, then they'll do everything right at game day. And as we find out, that's not true. So what we have to do is find out what they do if I just shut up and let them tell me what they wanted. And so for everybody that's flabbergasted by a bird-catching dog, go out, put down some real loose birds, you know, ones that are walking around or up or we're going to move as soon as they feel pressured, and just be quiet and find out. And on the first one, if they do everything right, go do it again and be quiet. Let them tell you, you know, what they'd really like to do, because that's what they're going to do on game day. And then, however it is you train, then you go, gosh, this dog is going to creep in. So then you address, not that they'll catch a bird. How do I keep them from catching a bird at a test? How do I, once I find out what it is they're actually going to do, what are the means that I have to teach them that this is what you do even when I'm not talking? And there's different people that do that different ways, but people that have steady birds have addressed that situation. Either that, or you're the guy out there in the field going, whoa, and everybody has like two or three syllables to whoa, but it's whoa, whoa, you know, and they're just like sitting there telling the dog, don't move, don't move, don't move. And maybe, you know, about that third or fourth bird, they might just be tired of that and just go in and do something that they never do in training. So in the upland stuff, that's most of the time when they do something they've never done before is because you've never found out what they would do if you just shut up and let them do stuff. It doesn't really have anything to do with your training tools. It has to do with you paying attention to the dog. And so now let's talk about bird handling. And I'm just kind of flabbergasted with a lot of bird handling issues that I've seen a lot of places. And I don't have any answer. I've heard of people say all the things that they should do. And probably some work and some don't with some dogs. And some, I don't know what it is. But on the bird handling, I cannot speak with expertise in how, if somebody's having a problem with it, to tell them how to get out of it. I cannot do that. But nervousness and anxiety and emotion in dogs always comes out through their mouth or their digestive tract. Those are the places where the obvious signs are. So when dogs start doing things with birds, it is their psychological reaction to things that have happened. And I've told this on other stories on other podcasts before, long time ago, I'm going to say 22 years, maybe something like that, 20 years. I had a dog, like four dogs out of one litter, and they were just great. There was one of them that when I was training all of them, that on a mark, so I did something with the collar, and when they were on a mark, I don't know what it was. They were out there, and I can't remember what I did, but it was really stupid. And the minute that I pushed that button and whatever the situation was, I knew it. It was like, that was so wrong. And the dog wound up getting the bird and coming back. And, you know, I just remember at that instant, though, I was like, oh, that was not the right time to use that collar. And it was not that season, but the following season when we were running the master level stuff, that the dog on the last bird of the land series just wouldn't let me have it. I had never had this problem ever with any dog I'd ever trained, and he just wouldn't let me have it. And at that very minute when I'm sitting there going, and he wasn't, you could just tell, and he's just the nicest dog. We were good buddies. The whole litter was phenomenal, right? And this, he just was like, no. And we tried one more test, and he did it to me again. And so he never wound up with all the titles he should have. And I don't know how to say this. I just knew when he did that bird immediately the year before when I had put that misunderstood pressure on him, it took a while. I don't know how. I don't understand how it all worked. Nothing like that ever happened again. But that was big enough, and then the pressure of just training for high-level competition, because he was running AKC and APLA and doing it, it just came out right there, boom. And, you know, they sent it to another trainer. Oh, she's real heavy, puts a lot of pressure on. And then I'm not that, but on that day, it was wrong, and it was bad, and it caused a lot of problems. So they're not all dogs are the same. You cannot explain it all. Same way with every dog, but there's things that happen. So the only intelligent thing I can say on this is, if you even see signs, please don't just go directly after that. You know, don't use electricity, don't use barbed wire wrapped around stuff, but it's some kind of psychological response to something. And you know, with some dogs, I suppose you can overcome it and replace it with different things, but it takes a little bit of time. So when they do something like that, there is a reason, and it's not, you know, just the way it is. And I don't, as far as fixing it, I'm not really, that's a tough one, because it's just like somebody with PTSD. You know, you don't just fix them. They will always have that, and it's a matter of allowing them to cope with certain things. So I have nothing terribly intelligent to say on that one. Just be very careful, and don't be yelling. I'll just say this. When a dog won't give you a bird, don't yell your drop or whatever your command is louder, because that's just like asking, how bad is that toothache right now? Does it hurt more now? Does it hurt? That's not the thing. So you have to redirect their thinking, you know, onto sit or something else so that they forget about the mouth thing and they got their mind on something else. But those are problems that we create. But there, it's a tough one because dogs' psychological response to things, they're not all the same. And so I would just teach when you force fetch, you know, I would be very careful that the mouth is always a safe place and be careful about that one. But on all the other behaviors, I don't know why they do that. Or they don't handle on a mark. Well, that's probably because they haven't been handled on the mark. Now, what do you do about that? You don't go handle them on marks so they get used to it, because then they're going to, if they can't find it really quick, you'll just handle them, right? So we don't want them to learn that. But for dogs to be able to handle on marks, you know, you can set up marks where, and eventually, you know, you can, and don't set them up to just crush them. But I mean, you can set up stuff so maybe they're smelling one bird on the way to the other and they try to change, so you stop and handle them. In other words, know that I don't care how good your dog is, at some point you'll have to handle them on a mark. So get them used to it. And that is by being aware of the need to do that and setting up some things where very possibly, you know, you might have to handle. Or if they just never, you know, like we all like to think we have the dog that just, he just always handles well. You know, then you can set up a double or a triple or something where it's going to be a little bit where he's too far, or a little out of range, and you can handle. But they'll learn to handle on marks by being fairly handled on marks where appropriate. You know, don't let them get back into an old fall. Handle, teach them and those things to get out of that stuff. Another point on this, one of the things I've heard recently is I taught my dog to run this certain kind of water blind, you know, last year and year before I taught them, and today they wouldn't do it. I'm really going to get after them. So you taught, you know, an in and out blind or an angle entry or whatever, some kind of deal, you've taught it. But like, just like you and me, if we don't practice stuff, our skill level drops and drops and drops. So go in with, before you go to test, just the fundamental concepts, practice those things. You know, can I do a reentry blind? Can I do a shoreline blind? You know, can I handle my dog onto the point and off the point? Just practice things like that so that it's fresh in their mind, and make sure that they really understand it. But most of all, the oh my God, they've never caught a bird. Oh my God, my dog never breaks, is because your dog has, again, you've never really driven home those behaviors. So, for example, a break is not sitting. Okay? That's what a break is. Plain, that's all it is. A break means your dog stopped sitting. So you don't have a good enough sit. So one of the things I've seen some of the people in our training group, they've taken this to a maximum. You know, they'll signal for the bird and it goes off, and they'll put their hand down and say every other dog around their name but theirs, you know, so that dog has to really work hard to hear its name, instead of the first sound out of your mouth is to go, so they're going to go on the first sound out of your mouth. So it's funny to watch everybody do that. And then correcting if the dog even initiates 10% of moving. Yes. Even if they just kind of shuck a little bit like they're going to go and you enforce sit again, things like that begin to drive that home. You cannot assume, okay, I've taught my dog steady. Okay, I've taught my dog angle entry over the point blinds. We're done. You're not done. You have to go back and review those things and reinforce the correct responses on things, even on the dogs that aren't committing the crimes. So, and like on the breaking one, I'll say, like all the guys in the group, you know, they're saying all kinds of crazy things. You know, they're saying get it when the dog's on point, right? The dog's going, just hurry up and shoot the bird. You know, you're not going to really fool them. In other words, they have a built-in resistance to temptations to go. you build in a resistance for the temptations that they might do something in the field or on marks or blinds. You build in a resistance to doing the wrong thing by training for that. And you can, there's a lot of, it applies in so many ways. This isn't all about correcting these dogs. This isn't all about setting something up and then getting them for it. I totally disagree. Totally disagree with that approach. You know, if a dog breaks or a dog is doing some stuff I don't like, then I'm going to come back into my regular training thing, and I am going to, one, find out what they're thinking, which I actually did probably at the test, and then I am going to really build up their resistance to doing the wrong thing. And not just once or twice. It's not like a Band-Aid, we stick it on, we're good. You have to get the thing sewed up, healed, and back totally that way by routinely practicing, teaching them to build up a resistance to do the wrong thing. That doesn't mean, say, the steadiness. You don't go up there and just nail them with the electric collar all the time, but do other stuff that makes it tempting, then come back in before they commit the crime, before they just break, as their mind is going, I can't stand it, I gotta go. Right there, you come in and enforce the correct behavior. So we're not punishing them. We are enforcing what we want to do, and therefore building up resistance to doing the wrong thing. And depending on your dog, it might be a light touch that you do that. But you have to do that. And this, so, like, there's one dog I know about, a really excellent dog. Does everything real perfect. And then gets in the upland field. And then I'll tell you, all of a sudden, they go deaf, and memory's totally gone on expectations, you know, and that's very frustrating when you have a really good dog that knows all the rules and always does it right in training. So there is a dog that does not have the built-in resistance from doing the wrong thing, because always in training, always does the right thing. So again, that's a place where building in, and not just, you don't go after folks. If your dog does something, you know, only on watermarks, you know, they break on water because they just love it if a bird splashes. That doesn't mean we're just going to go and practice a lot of bird splashy watermarks. You're going to get into the dog's head and again, build up the resistance to doing the wrong thing. And when you do that in a number of places, then it becomes in their thinking. And it often translates to those areas that you've had the problem. But if you go after one spot, one, you can, you know, maybe you'll solve it. But also you might create resentment. You might create some new problems because you're just hammering on that sore tooth. Right? And it just keeps getting sorer instead of healed. So when you have a dog, and a lot of people, oh, they never do that in training, that means your dog does not have a built-up resistance from doing the wrong thing. And that is a thing you do throughout your training. In a lot of areas, you look for places to have them just, you know, really want to do something, and you enforce them not doing it. This is not a punishment thing. You know, I have found that enforcing what they already know is far more effective problem solving than killing them for something they're doing, which is often the first thing that people go after. So I hope that makes sense to people. Those of you that have dogs that never do it in training, maybe there, you know, some of you that can relate a little bit. You got to think about it, though, because you got to think about it, too, more globally. You don't just have a breaking on the honor problem or a chasing birds in the field problem. You have a dog, like I said, that does not have a built-in resistance to doing the wrong thing. And that is created in all of your training in the relationship between the two of you. And that way it translates to wherever it could pop up. It may be in the upland field. It may be on the water blind. It may be, you know, wherever it is, it's there. But it'll show up somewhere else, too, as they begin to give in to temptation because they've never been taught how to deal with with great temptation and having the right behavior enforced with enough pressure that it is meaningful to them. And again, it's not solved in 2 days. It's changing the way you train your dog and the way how you think about it. And when that becomes more of a global thing, then you will find that the game day anomalies tend to go away. You always can have some, you know, because they're human, we're human, right? Stuff happens. But you can certainly not be just completely mystified when your dog does something because you never taught him to resist doing it to begin with. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. Test season is hot and heavy right now, and there's field trials, HRC, the run and guns, AKC, APLA, everybody's just firing away. So I wish everybody a ton of luck, a ton of success, be safe and stay healthy, and I will be back next week.